Well, a God morning to you, and welcome back to the God School. We're teaching through the book of Ephesians. I want to take a little side road for a moment. As I give tours in the Bible Museum, which we put God's Word on display, I would bring us to hear this word of God. It's a commentary. I don't know what the source is, but I think it's well worth sharing for you. As I teach, I quote the second verse of the 138th Psalm, which says, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." You can't get a higher place than that, folks. Listen to this commentator's words about this. This word of promise made to David was in his eyes more glorious than all else that he had seen of the Most High. Revelation excels creation in the clearness, in the definiteness, and fullness of its teaching. The name of the Lord in nature is not so easily read in the scriptures, which are a revelation in human language, specifically adapted to the human mind, treating of human need and of a Savior who appeared in human nature to redeem humanity. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but the divine word will not pass away. And in this respect especially, it has a preeminence over every other form of manifestation. Moreover, the Lord lays all the rest of his name under tribute to his word. His wisdom, power, love, and all his other attributes combine to carry out his word. It is his word which creates, sustains, quickens, enlightens, and comforts. As a word of command, it is supreme. And in the person of the incarnate word, that is Jesus Christ, it is set above all the works of God's hands. The sentence in this text is wonderfully full of meaning. We have collected a vast mass of literature upon it, but space will not allow us to put it all into our notes. Let us adore the Lord who has spoken to us by his word and by his Son, and in the presence of unbelievers, let us both praise his holy name and extol his holy word. Not only the promise to David, which said he his throne would be perpetual. That means in this life, as long as the sun in the day and the moon and stars at night, David would have a descendant sitting on the throne. What a wonderful subject that is to explore. But we in Christ have even more, over 8,000 promises in God's word, any one of which we have the assurance of God, that he has magnified that word of promise even above his name. With that introduction, let's get back into Ephesians. I believe that we ended in the 18th verse of the fourth chapter. So I think we have to include. No, let's go to the 17th. It says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, in the nothingness, if you will, of their mind, having their understanding darkened, and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness or hardness of their heart." You know, Ezekiel tells us that God, in this divine relationship, has given unto his children a new heart. And the picture is one that can be touched. Continuing on, describing those guys whom God has not given a new heart to, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Paul says, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have," King James says, "have been taught by him." Better translation, the literal is, "and have in him been taught," or "in him have been," in him, listen, in him, that is Christ, "in Christ have been taught, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, the habits, if you will, of the old man." And this verb being translated "put off," it's in the middle voice, "that ye for your own sakes concerning your former habit," the former habits of the old man, "which is being corrupted according to desires of deceit." "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And for your own sake, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Excuse me. And that ye put on the new man for your own sake, the Greek tells us. Middle voice. Which, after God, having been created in righteousness and true holiness, these words, righteousness and holiness in the Greek, are in the dative case. That means it's something being done on us, in us. It's not from us, it's being done in us, it's being done on us, it's being done, the righteousness and holiness is being done by God. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. This word neighbor, the literal is one who's near. Well, you don't know that guy, Don, or you don't know that woman, Don. Well, you know, if all were an eye, where were the hearing? And all, if all were the speaking, where would the seeing? We are all members one of another. Here's a shocker. Be ye angry. Middle voice. For your own sake, be angry. And sin not. It's not a sin to be angry. And let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let the sun go not down upon your exasperation, upon your wrath, upon your irritation, upon your indignation. The word comes from rage. You want to sleep well? Whatever it was you encountered that day that may have caused you to be angry for your own sake, let it go. And sleep in the peace and tranquility of the Spirit. Paul is talking real stuff here, folks. It says, neither give place to the devil. This is interesting. You could translate this, neither give opportunity to the devil. The word in the Greek is diabolo, and it's an adjective. It describes something. In the secular Greek, the word is most often translated backbiter. Accuser. Slanderer, don't give opportunity to the accuser. There is that place in the book of Zechariah where Joshua the high priest is standing before God, and Satan is in heaven, and he's accusing Joshua the high priest. Let's just for a moment go to that passage. It says, "And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord." This is Zechariah 3. "Standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan, the adversary, the accuser, standing at his right hand to resist him, to be his adversary, to be his accuser. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan." It's almost a guttural expression. "The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. Rebuke thee. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire?" Plucked out of this present evil world. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, "This is the Lord. Take away the filthy garments from him." And unto him he said, "Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of garments." There's nothing in that passage, folks, that says Joshua lifted a finger. God does it. God does it. That wonderful third psalm says, God is a shield about us. Make it personal. God is a shield about me. My glory. And the lifter up of my head. You got problems? Read on in that third psalm. It says, "I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me from his holy hill." And in this relationship, the psalmist says, "I laid me down to sleep, for the Lord, and I awaked, for the Lord sustained me." Neither give opportunity to the devil. Don't even let your own mind accuse you. God from before the foundation of the world chose you for himself in Christ. Stay there. stay there. Paul goes on to give some common sense. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working for his own sake with hands the thing which is good, that he may give, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. King James says, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, the God School is a specific destination. It's broadcast on shortwave radio. That's in general. But that which is good to the use of edifying, of edification, that is to bring understanding. The literal is, you know, we don't need to get so holy and religious where the King James says that it may minister. The word is simple. It means that it may give grace, unmerited favor, unto the ones hearing. And in the parables of Christ, he speaks in parables that he says, it is given unto you to hear and understand, but unto them it is not given. He proceeds that by saying, hearing they may hear and not understand. Because with the hearing, comes understanding. And with that, faith even unto salvation, all a work of God. God has given some. Remember, this whole epistle of Ephesians, it's not, folks, to the world. It's to the church. It is to those who belong to the Lord and to the faithful. By grace are ye saved, through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Let's continue. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let's see if I can bring some more clarity to this translation. Grieve not. Don't make the Holy Spirit of God sad. But through keep him alive. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In whom, and where? In whom the Holy Spirit of God, ye are sealed. It means, the word means to stamp for security, for preservation. The implication is to keep safe. Unto the day of redemption. This is a compound word in the Greek. The day wherein a separation of a part from the whole takes place, a day when that separation and full realization of the full price paid by Jesus Christ for us, for you. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. There's coming a day when all that's going to happen. As far as life in this world, best I could say is deal with it. We have that word of promise wherein we don't give opportunity to the accuser. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, the King James says, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Let me go a little further. It says, be ye kind one to another. That we get that word kind from the word kind. That is, we're related. We're family. Families may have disputes. But do stick together. Tenderhearted, let your heart be touched. Forgiving one another. This word forgiving is in the middle voice, for your own sake, forgiving one another. And then the literal of the last phrase is, even as the God, better put, as also the God in Christ forgave, middle voice, God forgave you for his own sake. Oh, how wonderful is our God.